When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
This is a True Crime in Real Time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is a True Crime in Real Time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
It's a conversation that no child should ever have to have with their mother. A conversation that Colby Ryan, the only surviving child of Lori Vallow Daybell, decided to share with the world. The phone call, posted on Colby's YouTube channel, is part of a much larger, tragic story that has captivated the public for years. The disappearance and deaths of Colby's younger siblings, Tylee Ryan and JJ Vallow. What unfolds during the call is, frankly, disturbing. It's a window into Lori's mind today, a glimpse at her delusional belief system, and a painful look at how she's rationalized the horrors of what happened. But it's also a portrait of a son grappling with the unthinkable, trying to understand a mother who seems to have lost touch with reality while carrying the heavy burden of unimaginable loss. The conversation is tense, filled with strange, almost surreal moments where Lori speaks as if she's on a different plane of understanding. Her words are a blend of religious fervor, denial, and revisionist history. As Colby listens, his frustration, heartbreak, and disbelief simmer just beneath the surface, creating a stark contrast to Lori's detached, almost eerie calmness. For those of us watching from the outside, it's hard to wrap our minds around the scope of this tragedy. How could a mother, someone who should protect her children at all costs, be connected to the deaths of her own kids? And how does someone like Colby, left to pick up the pieces, even begin to cope with it all? Let's walk through this conversation, unravel its layers, and explore the deeply troubling psychology of Lori Vallow Daybell, as well as the emotional toll it's taken on her son. The phone call begins with Lori, in her calm, almost casual tone, speaking to Colby as if they were having a normal, everyday conversation. But from the start, it's clear that Colby has one burning question. What really happened to his siblings? He starts by asking about a dream he had, one where his sister Tylee came to him. It's a subtle approach. Perhaps he hopes that Lori will use this as a gateway to open up about the truth. But Lori's response is anything but straightforward. She dismisses the idea of Tylee visiting Colby in a dream and instead shifts the conversation to her own visions. Lori claims that Tylee has visited her after death, apologizing to her for being such a brat. It's a strange moment. Lori speaks of Tylee not as a mother mourning her daughter, but almost as if Tylee's death is inconsequential, merely a blip in the larger scheme of Lori's self-perceived divine mission. Colby, clearly uncomfortable, tries to steer the conversation back to reality, but it's already slipping away. What makes this all the more chilling is the way Lori seems to genuinely believe what she's saying. She's not frantic or defensive. She's calm, collected, and utterly convinced that her children's spirits are not only at peace, but that they continue to communicate with her. It's a textbook example of delusional thinking, and it's clear that Lori is living in a world very different from the one Colby is trying to navigate. As the conversation progresses, Colby brings up an incident from years earlier, a road trip to Reno where Lori first shared her belief in multiple lives. It's here that we start to get a deeper look into Lori's delusional belief system, one that stretches far beyond conventional religious teachings. Colby pushes back, telling Lori that he doesn't believe in reincarnation, nor does he think that anyone other than Jesus has ever lived multiple lives. He references the Bible, grounding himself in something familiar and concrete. But Lori? Lori dismisses his concerns, saying that what she knows is higher knowledge, not meant for everyone, but for the chosen few. It's a moment that underscores just how far gone Lori is. Her beliefs about multiple lives, spirits visiting from the afterlife, and her own divine mission aren't based in any shared reality. They're a patchwork of religious teachings, personal revelations, and what appears to be influence from Chad Daybell, her alleged co-conspirator and husband. For Lori, this belief system is real. It's her truth, even if it defies logic or reason. Then comes the part of the conversation that will leave anyone who listens utterly speechless, the so-called zombie theory. This term has become infamous in the case, as investigators revealed that Lori and Chad allegedly referred to people they believed were possessed by dark spirits as zombies. It's this belief that may have contributed to the deaths of Tylee and JJ. Lori allegedly thought they had been taken over by evil entities. But when Colby brings this up, Lori vehemently denies ever using the word zombie. She claims that the whole idea was fabricated by others, blown out of proportion. The only mention of zombies, she says, came from JJ, who liked to play Minecraft and order zombie babies in the game. It's an absurd deflection, one that Colby doesn't accept. But even as he presses Lori for clarity, she never gives a straight answer. Instead, she doubles down on her belief that evil spirits can possess people, but insists that her words were misinterpreted. In Lori's mind, she is not responsible for the narrative that has emerged around her. It's the media, the police, and everyone else who have twisted her words. As if things couldn't get stranger, the conversation takes an even darker turn when Colby asks Lori directly, "What happened to Tylee and JJ?" Lori's answer is, frankly, disturbing. She claims that Tylee accidentally killed JJ by holding him down too long, and then, consumed by guilt, took her own life. Lori describes walking into the scene, finding her children dead, and assuming it was all her fault. She claims she left the scene, allowing others to take care of the situation. For anyone who has followed this case, this explanation is deeply unsettling. We know how Tylee and JJ's bodies were found. Tylee's remains were burned and dismembered, JJ's body wrapped in plastic and bound with duct tape. Lori's version of events doesn't align with the gruesome reality of what investigators uncovered, and yet she tells Colby this story as if it's the truth. Colby, for his part, is in shock. He asks Lori the questions that have haunted him for years. Who burned Tylee's body? Who tied up JJ? Lori, in her calm, almost detached manner, avoids giving a clear answer. She implies that someone else handled it, but she never says who. It's a moment that leaves Colby and the listener reeling. Lori's explanations don't add up, and Colby knows it. But as much as he wants to confront her, he also knows that pushing too hard will get him nowhere. It's a painful position to be in, trying to get the truth from someone who seems incapable of recognizing it. Perhaps the most heartbreaking part of the conversation comes when Colby tries to understand why Lori never told him what happened. He asks her why she kept the deaths of Tylee and JJ a secret, why she never came forward. Lori's answer? She says she was trying to protect Tylee's reputation. She didn't want the world to know that Tylee was responsible for JJ's death. It's an excuse that falls flat, especially given the horrific nature of how Tylee and JJ were found. But in Lori's mind, she still sees herself as the protector, the one who was trying to shield her daughter, even in death. As the conversation winds down, Lori makes one final startling revelation. She believes she is on a mission from Jesus. According to Lori, Jesus visited her in 2017, put his hands on her head, and ordained her to complete a divine task. She says that she was warned that this mission would require her to lose everything, just like Job in the Bible. But it doesn't stop there. Lori also claims that Lucifer appeared to her, vowing to stop her from completing her mission. This, she says, explains why her life has fallen apart. In Lori's eyes, everything that has happened, her arrest, the deaths of her children, the media scrutiny, it's all part of a spiritual battle between good and evil. It's hard to believe what you're hearing. Lori speaks with the conviction of someone who truly believes she's been chosen by God, that she is playing a crucial role in the coming end times. But as Colby listens, you can feel the weight of his disbelief. He knows deep down that his mother is lost in her own delusions, but how can he even begin to pull her out? When Colby finally speaks again, his voice cracks with emotion. He tells Lori that he doesn't share her beliefs. He's prayed, he's searched for answers, and what he's found is that none of what Lori says makes sense. He doesn't believe that she was visited by Jesus, and he certainly doesn't believe that Tylee killed JJ. Lori, of course, is unfazed. She tells Colby that one day, when they're all in heaven, he will understand. It's a cold comfort, and it's clear that Colby doesn't find any solace in her words. By the end of the call, Colby is emotionally exhausted. He's tried so hard to understand, to get his mother to see reason, but it's like speaking to a wall. Lori is too far gone, too wrapped up in her own narrative to ever face the reality of what's happened. After the call ends, Colby reflects on the conversation. He's shaken, barely able to process what he's just heard. He knows that Lori is delusional, but that doesn't make it any easier. She's still his mother, and the loss of that relationship, the loss of who she once was, hurts just as much as losing Tylee and JJ. As he speaks to the camera, Colby's voice breaks. He talks about the brutal way his siblings were found, how their bodies were mistreated after death. It's something no brother should have to think about, let alone live with. But Colby knows deep down that he can never have Lori in his life again. Her beliefs, her version of events, are too far removed from reality. And yet, despite everything, he tells her that he forgives her. He's not forgiving her actions. He's forgiving her for what she's become, a mother lost to her delusions. It's a devastating end to a tragic story. Lori Vallow Daybell remains convinced of her divine mission, while Colby is left to pick up the pieces of a shattered family. The call, posted for the world to hear, is a reminder of the emotional and psychological toll that cases like this take, not just on those involved, but on everyone who listens. As we step away from this conversation, we're left with more questions than answers. How did Lori get here? What led her to believe in such extreme, delusional ideas? And most of all, how does someone like Colby, a son who's lost everything, move forward? This story is far from over. But for now, all we can do is listen, try to understand, and hope that someday the truth will be known.
Strap in and get ready to go back in time. Gen X Time Machine is here to transport you back to the glorious days of neon, big hair, and cassette tapes that always needed rewinding.
To figure out where Tupperware, like, went wrong, we kind of got to start at the beginning.
Remember when MTV actually played music videos? Or when lunch wasn't complete without Dunkaroos? Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit like trying to recapture the magic of a bygone era. Yeah.
We're diving into all that and more. So if you want to relive the 80s and 90s in all their retro glory, hit up Gen X Time Machine wherever you get your podcasts.
VHS is looking like the obvious winner, right?
Oh, and don't forget the rise of the video rental store, remember?
Subscribe, because who doesn't need another excuse to avoid adulting? You're welcome, the Gen X Time Machine. Strap in and get ready to go back in time. Gen X Time Machine is here to transport you back to the glorious days of neon, big hair, and cassette tapes that always needed rewinding.
To figure out where Tupperware, like, went wrong, we kind of got to start at the beginning.
Remember when MTV actually played music videos? Or when lunch wasn't complete without Dunkaroos? Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit like trying to recapture the magic of a bygone era.
Yeah.
We're diving into all that and more. So if you want to relive the 80s and 90s in all their retro glory, hit up Gen X Time Machine wherever you get your podcasts.
VHS is looking like the obvious winner, right?
Oh, and don't forget the rise of the video rental store, remember?
Subscribe, because who doesn't need another excuse to avoid adulting? You're welcome, the Gen X Time Machine.